I'm Scott Schober, host for Cybercrime Radio. I'm here today with Ed Amoroso, who is the world's second ever Chief Information Security Officer when he joined AT&T back in 1999. Ed, welcome to the show.
Very nice to see you, Scott.
Privileged to spend a little bit of time chatting with you here. It's great to have you with us. Now, Ed, tell us, you knew Steve Katz, who was the world's first Chief Information Security Officer. Maybe tell us just briefly about him and the importance of naming a CISO at the time when Steve joined Citicorp back in 1994 after they suffered a series of cyber attacks from Russian hackers.
Well, I joined Bell Laboratories, AT&T, in 1985, joined the Unix Security Group as a developer. I was working on my PhD then. So I was doing cybersecurity and working in that area. In the early 90s, people running AT&T came and said, would you like make a group that sort of protects the company from cyber attacks? They didn't call it that. It was computer security, information security. I didn't know what that meant. I have no idea. We were at like little groups and things that I was part of, you know, working groups in the company doing information security. So I went hunting around. I found Steve Katz and I said, hey, how you doing? And he shows me this card and it said CISO. And I said, what is that? And he said, that's my title. And I said, can I have this card? And I went back to work and said, I think this is what you want me to be, right? And they said, yeah, that's the thing. And I had cards printed up because the company, I didn't want to change my title or anything. I'm some guy. And I was a Chief Information Security Officer copying off Steve. So he and I, you know, God rest his soul, he passed away recently. But 2 years ago, we were consulting together. It was kind of a funny, like almost a little bit of a scam. We're like, hey, hire the first and second CISO. And you, we got some business out of that little shtick. I thought that was funny.
Hey, I'm curious, Ed, where were you based out of back then when you were working at Bell Labs?
In New Jersey.
Oh, you were?
Whippany and Homedale. Okay. I mean, gotcha. A little bit in and around Murray Hill. And then later, Middletown, Florham Park.
Wow, nice. Very nice. Yeah, we worked with a lot of those different groups over the years. And my grandfather worked out of Murray Hill for, 40 years. And my father worked there as well. So a lot of crisscross. Yeah, a lot of great memories and history there with Bell Labs and certainly AT&T as well. Now, again, you joined back in 1999 as their Chief Information Security Officer. So made you the second one. Did you know at the time, maybe give us a little bit more of some of the backstory and the history of some of the things you did in your specific position that helped you land the job and really how CISO has evolved over the past 17 years to what we know it as today to really what it was back then?
Well, there was no job to land. And the 99, that's probably in some bio somewhere. That might have been a time when the title might have been formalized then.
Okay.
But I'd been doing it maybe for 5 or 6 years before then. And the way I would characterize it is if you could think of every possible mistake you could make, I did that. That probably wasn't my job description, but I think it describes the job I was doing. I mean, we were trying to figure it out. You know, you weren't quite sure how you police a network. You weren't sure how you collect data and process it. So we're sort of making it up. There weren't hundreds of vendors then. There were very few. And it was mostly government that we work. I would shuttle back and forth between the Air Force Information Warfare Center in San Antonio and our lab. We had a big center in Bedminster where we were collecting data. And like I said, if you had to write the job descriptions, protect the company, but if you did the reverse and said, well, what is that guy actually doing? It's fumbling around trying to figure it out. So that
I guess it's safe to say in a way you kind of paved the way for the future CISO.
Thank you for making that sound so much nicer. You're very
what
kind.
To do and what not to do, right? Excellent. Good. We appreciate that. Well, I'm curious from your description of things versus now, obviously, we see a stark contrast. In your opinion, how difficult is it to be a CISO today for these larger companies with the ever-changing cyber threat landscape?
It's not a fair fight, right? I mean, if you're up against a nation state, and you work in a bank or something, I spend some time on the board of directors of a large bank, and a little taste of the outside of telecom. It's not fair, you know? It's like you got a budget, you have a team, you do the best you can. And next thing you know, you're up against nation states. It's not a fair fight any way you look at it. So that's the problem. I think the government assumes that if we just kick the CISO's butt a little bit, that they'll all of a sudden figure out how to do it. But I wish it were so. I think that 100% of the CISOs that I deal with and that I know you guys deal with, these are people trying really hard. They're intelligent. They get up in the morning and they're dedicated and committed to protecting children's hospitals and first responders. That's what we do. It's not like we're, you know, just kind of lazy on the job and need to be regulated to get it done. So that would be my observation. I think that it's kind of a thankless job. And when you're inevitably hacked because it's nation state, most of them are a big criminal ring, there's this maybe implicit view that there might be some neglect or something going on. And I often want to say, and I know you guys know this, I want to say, hey, before you criticize, here, take the steering wheel, try it.
Give it a shot yourself.
It isn't so easy. Yeah. So it's a tough job. But again, it's almost like a calling, because when you do it, you're doing it because you want to protect things. You want to make the world better. That's why you do it.
And now, Ed, you also published an ebook with Rich Powell, Working from Home, A Guide to Navigating the New Normal. And it's based on Charlie Ciso cartoon series, which gave me a big smile when I was looking through it there. So maybe to lighten things up for us a little bit as we wind down this segment, tell us a little bit about the book.
Hopefully nobody's listening now. I'll give you the secret here. So when I want to comment on something, then I'll write about it and generally try to be positive and supportive in the writing. But when I want to be a little bit snarky, then we do it as a cartoon because it seems like it's somebody else writing it. I know that's not so funny, but we usually try to poke fun. Like we had a cartoon recently that had a guy going in a card shop asking for a sympathy card for a newly appointed CISO, you know? So, I mean, things like that, that's a way of getting a point across with a little bit of humor, where we can be a little snarky. So Charlie is my alter ego, and he says the things that I don't. So I write him, and Rich Powell is a Mad Magazine illustrator.
Oh, I know that. Okay.
Yeah, I met him, and he writes, and we've done about 400 or 500 of them. Wow. Some of them, you know, kind of corny and dopey.
Yeah.
But I would say 1 out of 10 is pretty good. Yeah. So we've done 30 or 40 that I think are really quite funny.
Oh, that's great. Sometimes, too, it also takes something that's a very serious subject. We roll up our sleeves, we dive into it, but sometimes you got to back up and smile and laugh about it and enjoy what you're doing, too.
100%.
I love that aspect of that. Yeah. And I will pick up a copy on Amazon and take a look at it.
Oh, well, thank you. We'll make our 11 cents on that.
Yeah, exactly. I know. I've got 3 books out so far, and I think I'm up to 33 cents, so I concur. Thank you, Amazon, for getting rich on our backs. And maybe in conclusion, Ed, is there anything else that you'd like to share with us? You've got such a diverse background. I looked at some of the stuff that you're doing now, but would love to hear any concluding comments.
I love the podcast you guys do. I think that that's one of the big changes. Like there's so many good voices sharing information, a lot of good stuff that's out there. Where in the past, if you wanted to know how to do a thing, kind of good luck,
yeah.
You know, had to make it up. Now, if you want to learn something, learn a little bit more about, say, quantum cryptography, or you want to learn about, you know, next generation use of artificial intelligence to stop attacks, there's all kinds of great videos and ebooks and courses. It's one of the best things. You can sort of self-teach. So that's new, and I think that's fantastic.
That is exciting. Well, again, thank you so much today for joining us. And again, I am Scott Schober, host for Cybercrime Radio. Joining us today was Ed Amoroso, the world's second ever CISO. And you can keep up with all our media at cybercrimemagazine.com.